Life has its ups and downs, and like many of us, I face moments with depression. Music has always helped me find my way through, and I believe it can do the same thing for you. I'm James Cox, and this is the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, a podcast about the healing power of music.
Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks with your handicapped host, James Cox, and I have another interview today. I'm so excited. When his PR said, "Hey man, you got to interview Darcell, man." She's like, "He's the one." I'm like, "Send me him, you know, let's get it done." So, my guest today has built life around music that's supposed to make people feel joy, hope, and love. But that music didn't come from a life where everything was just joyful. He left Dallas, Texas for Los Angeles, chasing music, experienced homelessness, lived out of his car, eventually built his own company, and today he's still betting on himself as an independent artist, songwriter, and producer. Darcell, welcome to the show, brother. How are you doing?
James, what's up, man? Good to
Yeah.
see you, brother. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fantastic, you know.
I see that.
Other than that, I live in South Carolina, and we have a whole lot of heat over here, so that's kind of a drag. But other than that, man, I'm loving life.
Can I tell you, James? People think it doesn't get hot in L.A. I live in what the area of L.A. is the San Fernando Valley, and here today it's about 98 to 100. So I'm right there with you, brother.
There you go. There you go. I don't think we're gonna have an actual winter here at all. we haven't had one for a few years, so. But I
Okay.
love wearing my jacket, so I'm praying to God that He blesses me with cold weather, you know, this year.
Well, I'm going to pray with you and answer your prayer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So before we talk about your career,
Okay.
Let me ask you this. When nobody is listening and nobody is buying anything and nobody needs anything from you, Darcell, who is Darcell when he's alone and he's just pondering, just thinking about life?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a follower of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's who I am at my core. The Lord has been so good to me, James. He's blessed me in ways I couldn't have imagined. As you said, coming to Los Angeles with $120 and no place to live wasn't easy. Along with being a follower of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm a lover of life and a lover of people.
Yeah, your music is so positive. It just brings me so much joy, you know.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people think this whole world is evil, but I guarantee you it's not. You know, I've talked to many, many, many musicians, and they say like 99.9% is on the good side. You know, the TV just proceeds to tell us like false information, you know. I mean, yes, there is evil everywhere, but there's more good than bad. It's what I'm trying to say, you know.
I agree with that. I agree with that totally.
Yeah. Okay. So when I was looking you up, I read somewhere that you started making music at the age of 5.
That's about right. I started
Okay.
singing at 5 for sure.
Singing, okay. Well, that's huge too. Yeah.
Singing in church, man. My dad had a gospel group. My dad's family had a gospel group, and I was singing that with my dad and his cousins and my brothers and whatnot. And also singing a lot at school, you know, basic stuff, talent shows and that type of thing. And you know, got bitten by the bug and feel like that's what I'm gonna do for my rest of my life. And by the grace of God, I'm doing that.
Yeah. But your grandmother introduced you to the piano at a young age. Was it in your teen years, or was it in your, you know,
it was in my early 20s, man. You know,
okay.
I've been around. I played that piano a little bit. And one day, man, I was at home in my parents' house, and my grandmother said, "I heard you want to play." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, sit down." And so I sat down, and she began to show me. You know, James, she was in her probably 70s or 80s at the time. And she made something that seemed so big to me, so small, something that seemed so complex, so simple. And honestly, James, after about an hour and a half, man, I was actually able to play a little bit.
An hour and a half.
about that. I was actually to kind of understand the numbers and that's the things that go along with music. And
Yeah.
because I tell you, she had played for 40 choirs over a weekend. And I thought that was extraordinary for somebody in the early 80s to play for 40 choirs over, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So I was enamored with it. And again, when she said, "Hey man," she didn't say, "Hey man," I said,
Yeah.
"Heard you want to play." I said, "Yes, man. Sit down, boy." And I, she just made it easy for me, and I started playing piano.
Nice. Within 5 minutes or less, yeah.
About an hour and a half, I kind of
Hour and a half, yeah.
understood. About an hour and a half, I kind of understood what should be done, and
Yeah.
now I spent the rest of my life, trying to figure out how to do what needs to be done, to be quite
Yeah.
honest.
Yeah. Well, you're a hero because I still can't play guitar, even though I
Oh,
have
really?
7 of them. You know,
How often do you play, man?
not enough. I don't
Yeah,
play at
well,
all. Yeah, I need to go back and like sit down and 10 minutes a day. That's all it takes, I hear.
so when you're watching Clemson play football or whatever you're watching, the Gamecocks or whatever,
Right.
grab your guitar, play guitar during the games. You'll
Yeah.
be surprised how long you'll play, because if you use the games of 3 hours, you'll
Right.
play without even thinking about it. So that's one for you.
Yeah.
So,
Nice.
anybody can play an instrument. It's like any relationship. How much time do you want to spend with it? That's really what it comes down to.
Exactly. So when you sit at a piano right now, I know there's still a little piece of your grandma sitting with you,
Yes.
watching you play. Is that correct?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Yes.
Yeah. How does that feel for you to know, like I learned from my grandmother, and my grandmother is here with me when I play piano.
Man, I think about her often. I just lost my dad in 2024, so that was like a big blow for me. And he was really my singing mentor, incredible singer, gospel singer, incredible singer. But I think about my father, my grandmother often when I'm playing, and just, again, I know they're in heaven. I'm a Christian. My parents, my grandmother and my father were believers, and I just believe they're watching and just hoping I can do something to make them proud, to do something that will, pay back to others what my family gave to me. I just want to make music, man, to make people feel beautiful, write music, remind people, as you said, the beauty's everywhere. There's beauty inside of everybody. And if we could tap into that, man, we can love each other more earnestly and more fully. And that's really why I'm writing songs at this point in my life.
Speaking of writing songs, you started in your bedroom writing songs as a teenager, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
So if teenage Darcel could hear the music Darcel plays now, what would make him proud, and what would confuse the hell out of him? You know, like, oh my God, I thought about that.
Right.
Wow. You know?
I think what make him proud is I'm still playing some of those same songs today. How do you feel? Stay. Loveland. Love is all right. Love someone. Those are songs that on my website, darcel.net. I think that would make him proud. But also, I think he'd ask, why haven't you gone further? I think he'd ask you, why haven't you gone further in terms of expanding as a musician? Like, I'm still learning, still growing, but I've taken some detours in terms of being a dad and that whole thing, and being a husband. And a lot of times when you're a husband and father, it just by virtue of being those titles, it takes a little time away from you, for me anyway, indulging in myself as much as I should. And quite honestly, James, this is the first time since I've been married and had children, I'm able to give myself wholly. My kids are getting older. They're moving in directions, and I'm helping them in that. But I think my younger self would say, I'm proud of where you are, but go further, go harder, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Well, okay, so you could also tell him like life got in the way, you know, because there's many trials and tribulations of life that postponed you from getting further in your music career, you know.
I mean, for the last couple of years, I've basically just been selling my music out of my trunk. And really, I was telling my family, and recently we had a conversation. I was telling where I am. My dream wasn't to be a music salesman,
Oh,
which is
okay.
really what I became for years. Hey, you guys like music? And I'll sell them a $20 CD. And for a long time, that's how I was paying my bills and make sure my family was fed. But my dream wasn't to be a CD salesman. But somewhere along the way, I got kind of caught between the bills, the family's needs, and my dream. And on one level, it looked like my dream was thriving because I was selling my music, but I wasn't creating as much music as I wanted to. So yeah, life has gotten in the way, life got in the way, but it didn't stop me.
Yeah.
That's what I would tell people. It didn't stop me. It
That's perfect.
actually, yeah, seriously. Seriously.
So before we get on to that life didn't stop you moment, do you remember the first song you wrote where you thought, wait, this is something more powerful than anything I could do? I need to release this now, you know?
Couple of songs. The first song I wrote was called Unbelievers. Here's to all you unbelievers. Here's to all you people of little faith. Here's to all you unbelievers. My music gonna smack you right in your face, yeah. And I was just so happy. James, I went around for about a month singing that to everybody I knew, from teachers to classmates to friends to foes. But I think when I wrote Summer Days, I was on the freeway. My little brother was in town. We were going to see the Lakers play. And I'd written several songs. But that was the first song I wrote. And I said, I'm going to release this. Because I'd cut demos. I collaborated. I'd probably written, a couple hundred songs by now. But that was the first time I was riding on the freeway. And I wrote Summer Days on the 110 freeway in L.A., going to downtown L.A. And it was just something about the song. I said, I'm going to release this. And I did. And it did pretty well. And so that Summer Days would probably be the first one I'd say that made me become a recording artist who released music and not just a guy who's writing songs.
Right. Well, now that we're talking about Summer Days, I love that song because it's so catchy. The rhythm is just right. It feels like a good moment,
Appreciate you.
But I found you on SoundCloud, so I can listen to all of the previews. And I noticed that some songs are turned into EDM style of music. All right.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, great. Because so EDM is electronic dance music, correct?
Right, yes.
Okay, perfect. How did okay? So when you wrote with Summer Days,
Right.
the bass song, right?
Right, the R&B song.
Yes.
Right.
At what point in your career did you say, I wonder if this will do good as an EDM song or like an acoustic song? Because there's one song where you did acoustic, but I forget which one you did.
Right. The reason why I did EDM, honestly, James, I want my music to reach everybody. Here's what I think. I think if you write a song, okay, the song is the song. The song can take on many different lives if the production's different, right? So I wanted to experiment. So what I did, I began to experiment with quite a few of my songs, Summer Days, We Call It Love, All I Want. Those songs I ended up producing as EDM records. I just wanted to make sure that I think the message of the song is good, but I could take one song and a 40-year-old guy or 50-year-old girl or 60-year-old guy might like it, right? But then I could take that second song, the same song, and if I produce as an EDM record, their kid and their grandkid would like the same exact song. So the idea with EDM music was just making the arms of the song longer, making having a better reach and touching more people. That's really what it was about.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. To go off of my previous question about telling yourself what would you done, what would he say to you now, the thing I
Right.
told about life, life gets in the way,
Right.
there you and you're very open about this, and I
Yes.
love you so much for this,
Yes.
you've lived in your car
Yes.
a lot.
Yes.
I think it was after you moved to Los Angeles from Texas,
Yes.
right?
Yes, from Dallas. That's what you're right. You're right.
Okay, yeah, I was born in Austin, so I'm like, hell yeah, brother,
I got you.
right. So, yeah, so you talked about living in your car after coming to Los Angeles or going to
Yes.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
Take me somewhere people usually don't ask you about. Like, what did nighttime feel like for you at when you closed the door? and you realize, holy crap, this is where I am now. This is
Man,
where
that's
I've been.
you're the first person that ever asked me that, sir.
Really?
And I'm so grateful to you for that. I'm so grateful to you. Here's what it was, James. When I closed that door, man, it was cold. It was lonely. I was disappointed in myself. A lot of nights I was sad. I'm a big dreamer, and I just realized, like, man, you came to LA. How did you end up here? But here's a kicker. I didn't want to work a day job. I didn't want to work a 9 to 5. And so I paid for that. I paid a big price for that. Live in my car, I'd wait. So at nighttime, it's LA, just like anywhere. So I don't know who's going to walk up on the car, see me sleep, think I got $50 and, do their thing, right? So that was an issue. I didn't want people who knew me to see me. Those type of things, which that was less of an issue for me, but my safety, this car, the air conditioning didn't work. So if it was hot and humid at night, which you don't get too humid in LA, but it does sometimes, that was a fact. If it was cold outside, that was a factor. It was just if I woke up, when I woke up in the morning, I'll tell you this, James, if you live in your car, when the sun comes up, you're not sleeping through that. You're going to get up, right? Get up, and I go to the service station, Chevron or whatever, brush my teeth. I'd go to the grocery store, spend $4 or whatever I had to get me some breakfast. I'd go to the gym because I work out, still work out to this day. I'd work out, and I'd, man, I'd go from there. I'd take a shower at the gym. Sometimes I iron my clothes at the gym. And it was a really dark time, but I tell you, the good that came out of James, first of all, I can be a testimony to others because many people will go through the same things I'm going through. And also, I learned something about myself, James. Whatever it takes, I'm not giving up on my dream. Whatever happens, I'm not giving up on my dream. And so I learned a lot about myself. I learned how bad I want it. And then I learned too, James, that somewhere along the way, it stopped being about what I could get and what it became about what I could give. So, for instance, I came to LA. I want to be the big star. I want to have the big house. And those things are still true, no doubt. But I realized that God had given me a gift to share, to give, to uplift, to encourage, to be a blessing to others. And so living in that car was tough, but I realized when I look back, I wasn't just living in my car. In a lot of ways, I was in school. I was in life school. And for that, to be honest with you, I'm sincerely grateful for that.
Well, moving anywhere is a big moment in anybody's life, no matter who you are, what you do, where you go, you know.
Yes, it
So
is.
from Texas to LA, you know, that's a big jump from moving
Right.
to Texas to LA.
Right.
Going off of that, essentially, what made you move? Did you talk to some? Did somebody talk you into? Into coming to LA, oh, you can be a big star, and you got there, and it wasn't at all what you
Imagine,
yes.
it wasn't so much that. So here's how it happened. So I'm working. I'm out of college. I dropped out of college a year before I should graduate. So I drop out. I go back home because I just felt music was calling me, James. It's something. It was just what I was doing anyway. And I was like, what I was studying in college, marketing and sales, I could do that now. I'm doing that now anyway. I didn't feel like I'd always been a salesperson. At the malls and whatever. So a young lady gave me I was working at Budget Rent-A-Car, managing a call center. A young lady named Denise Martell. I hope I run into her one day. I don't know who she is, but I hope I do. Denise gave me a ticket to LA for my birthday. I fly to LA. I'm staying, my dad had a friend out here, so I stayed with him for a couple of nights. I catch the cab. I'm going to see this TV show. They shoot TV shows. I go by the Shrine Auditorium. And I asked the cab driver, what's going on there? He says, it's the American Music Awards. I said, oh, shoot, drop me off here. He did. I get out of the car, Shrine Auditorium is crowded. I'm just kind of looking around. And so I'm singing to myself. I don't even remember what I was singing. I had some problems. No one could see the sign or something, whatever it was. And so this dude says, hey, man, you sound good. You want to get backstage? I said, excuse me, I sure do, right? Dude takes me backstage. He told me one of the members from New Edition was his cousin, Ralph Tres Van. It was. Get backstage. I meet the cats, man. Stevie Wonder, man. You know, all the cats that I grew up listening to.
Big stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Night. That night, I ended up in the car with somebody. I don't even know who. The car was full.
I
You know, went
don't
to a talent show and I saw a lot of talent. 2 days later, I think I went back home and I told my dad, hey, dad, I'm gonna move to LA, man. He said, well, said, you're not a throwaway. You always come back home. I said, well, shoot, let me try that. May 26th, a couple months later, I drove out to LA and I moved. You know, and it wasn't what I thought. You know, I thought that my talent, James, I thought my talent would be enough. And I went to my first talent show and they didn't boo me, but they weren't feeling me at all.
No.
I mean, at all. I mean, hey man, they didn't boo me, but I got on a scale of 1 to 10, James, I got a big fat zero. And I
Oh,
realized I did. I did. And they laughed and it was just, I never experienced that before.
yeah.
And so I realized my talent is not enough. And also, I started realizing like I started chasing producers, chasing people, chasing the next big thing. And I realized at some point, James, I tell you, the Lord said to me, son, why don't you stop looking for the hookup and learn how to be the hookup? That's how I released Summer Days. Because I was writing over a lot of tracks at the time. And I'll tell you this quick story, James. It was the Oscars had come around and Denzel Washington won an Oscar. I was out there. They always have these with the governor's ball. They had these big parties. So I was out in the streets, everybody trying to get pictures and stuff. I'm trying to meet him. And so there was a guy, a big music mogul, man. He jumped in his limo. James, I had my demo on my head. I ran down the street chasing his limo, literally at least 50 yards. At
Oh,
least, you know, I play a little football. I know 50 yards.
you know what? Yeah.
Man, I chased it, and everybody was laughing. Run, Forrest, run, jump, dive, you know, and all that. And I just realized over time, like, what am I chasing people for? What am I, you know, and I'll tell anybody that comes to LA or have a dream, whatever you have inside of you, start there. Don't start from the outside, start from the inside. So, no, LA wasn't what I thought it was, but LA made me grow up. LA toughened me. LA didn't scar me. And LA didn't taint me. And LA didn't let me make me lose my hope. But it certainly made me realize that if you're going to make this happen, you got to be like everybody else. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to go through the ditch. You got to go through the mud. You got to go through the pain of this experience and not try to dodge it. You know, if you're going to get to the top of the mountain, son, you got to climb the mountain like everybody else. That's what LA taught me.
Yeah, want to backtrack to
Okay.
and say Art and Dad's great. I love dads. I love
Man, oh
man. I
man,
love my dad. I love your dad even more.
man, that was a brother, man. I mean, my dad
Yeah.
was so cool. You know, my dad was so cool. Just, and I try to be the kind of dad, just love my kids and protect my kids and be there for my kids. And I do my best to do that. I really, but yeah, you're right. Dad's a great, mom's a great, dad's a
Mom's
great.
great too, but dads,
Yeah.
man. I just, yeah. I mean, I
What's
told
your
my mom that I love my dad a little bit more, and she's like, "Great, I love that you love your dad more than me. I pray that you love him more than me forever more." And I'm like, "All right, I will," you know. But
I
my
guess
mom's
what.
great too. My mom's great too. I love my mom to death. But
Of course.
in L.A. though, you did some movie work, if I'm reading it right. Correct me if I'm right here. You did House Party 2. You
Yes.
were a stand-in.
That's right.
Last Act. You were
Yes.
a neighbor.
Yes.
Our first video with Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Yes,
You were a
man.
musician there. Yeah, the
Yeah.
peanut butter segment. Right.
Yeah, I played bass on that thing, man. And
Yeah.
that was such a hoot. It really was.
And then you did. You were a referee on Hanging with Mr. Cooper,
Yes.
and you played George in A State of Mind.
Man, James, you know, I played at Georgia State. I still haven't seen the State of Mind to this day. I
Really?
still haven't seen it. I still haven't seen that movie, man.
Oh,
I
wait.
was just, I gotta see that.
Time to
It's on
plug
a
it in
short
and.
relation. I can't find it, huh?
Oh, really? Okay. I'll try to find it for you, Rick.
That'll be a
Yeah,
blessing.
I'm pretty good at searching for stuff.
That'll be a blessing.
But when you were in LA, you seem to have a pretty good category of movies,
Right.
So what was it about music that brought you back to music as opposed to a movie star?
Well, I never left music. I was just doing the movie. And to be honest with you, James, like my ultimate goal as an entertainer is to be a movie star. I love singing more than acting. I really do. I love singing. When I artistically, I love singing more than anything. But I think that sometimes movies can be more powerful than a song. Sometimes I really believe that. And at the time, man, I was working as an extra. And a guy named Jim Green said, "Hey man, there's a company called I forgot the company name now. I forgot the name of the company, but Essential Casting." And so, guys, I knew Jim, and Jim said, "Hey man, I'm casting this movie. I got some rappers. Would you like to be a stand-in?" I said, "Yeah, cool." So met the fellas, the rappers, and we did that. And then they did the movie Class Act. And one of the producers, she liked me, so she put me in the movie. And then somebody else saw me act a little bit. So I was doing a lot of stage plays. I did one called King the Man, and I played five characters. And once I played those five characters, people started taking me seriously as an actor. And so I booked that, and then I booked State of Mind, and then ultimately booked Hanging Mr. Cooper. And so musical has always been number one, but as I get older and older, I think that acting is going to take a front seat because it takes less energy. And I think it, again, I think generously, a really good movie it makes an impact more than a really good song to me. And so, yeah. So, but I love it all. I love acting. In fact, I just shot a pilot for a TV show that I wrote. And based on my life. And so I'm in the process of starting to shop that around the networks.
I love you for that, brother. I believe that you are going to be the next Denzel pretty soon.
Praise the Lord.
Pretty
Praise the Lord. Praise the
yeah.
Lord.
Awesome.
I'd like to make an impact.
Oh, yes, we all do, because I've been on TV sometimes and I feel like I could do a lot more, so I think God has called me to do bigger and better things,
Go for it, James. Go for it.
meeting you is what is one of the big things, that I've worked towards,
Okay.
so
Go
yeah,
for it, bro.
so thank you for coming on, sir.
Go for it, man. Go for it.
To go back to the car, if you don't mind,
Okay.
was there ever a night in the car where you seriously considered going home? You're like,
No.
okay,
No.
no, okay.
No. No, I'll tell you what helped me get no, never, never, never thought about quitting, never. And that's one thing God knows when me and God are alone, God knows the one thing I never thought about was quitting, never. And that's the honest to God truth. What helped me make it through in the car, I was writing songs. So I remember one time I wrote like three or four songs that week, man, and just the songwriting was growing in me, and somehow the songwriting was pushing down the disappointment. The songwriting was pushing down the disenchantment. The songwriting was pushing down the sorrow, man. And it's only the grace of God because, one time I woke up, I was living in a car. I had $3, I think, no, very little gas, like fumes, and it was a slow leak in my tire. And I said, "Oh my God, my tire's flat. So you got to go get fixed flat. How am I gonna get the money to get fixed flat?" And for some reason, somehow, man, I just made it through it. So now I never thought about going home. Now, when I told my parents, when I come home, I'm gonna come home. Not that I'm gonna visit, but when I come home like that, I'm come home on the stage of the stadium, AT&T Stadium. That's how I'm coming, and I mean that.
So music did not sound different to you when you were going through that hard time. Music only.
Say it didn't sound different to me.
Right.
No, it's the thing. We know the Lord. I don't want to over spiritualize everything, but in the natural, it's the thing that sustained me. It's the
Right.
thing that kept me hopeful. It's the thing. It's like I just feel like, well, the gift hasn't diminished. You know, the gift is still alive. So I'm still alive. The gift is still alive. So I assume the dream is still alive.
Right.
So me laying in this Volvo, you know, I tell you, me laying in Volvo, it didn't take me away from me, but it made me think like you don't want to work. You don't want to work a 9 to 5, bro. You're gonna have to do something. How are you gonna sustain yourself? And so after a while, I got a clue real quickly. You know, you better do something. So I was able to find me a little job and ultimately give me a little apartment and kind of go from there. But no, I didn't sound different. It
No,
I
okay.
guess if it sounded different, it sounded louder. It was loud, it was
That's
bigger.
yes. That's
It was
a
bigger.
big deal right there, brother.
You know
Yeah,
what I mean?
because the louder it is, the more it gets your attention, you know.
Yes,
And
yes.
I greatly appreciate that, you know. So,
And that was a Oh, go ahead.
oh yeah, don't go ahead.
You know, I don't know if you know this. Recently, I took my music off the streaming platforms.
Yes, we're going to get into that soon. Yes,
Okay.
definitely. Yes, yes.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
I did that, man.
But first, I would ask you this.
Okay.
Throughout life, you know,
Yes.
we're all rejected, you know, by girls, some by
Yeah.
jobs, some by, you know, this and that, you know, and I'm sure you got rejected. I got rejected too, you know.
Oh yeah.
So what's the number one rejection that you clearly remember, been some of your successes, you know?
Well, you know, it's been a couple of them.
Okay.
And basically, the first time this guy walked me into a record label, right? And the guy, man, he just knew a lot of people, man. And you
Yeah.
know, I was touring with Blackstreet. I don't know if you remember the group
I
Blackstreet.
do.
So
Yes.
I was touring with Blackstreet. So I toured with them. I toured with some other groups. So I was touring with them. So guy hears me. Well, no, I met him. He's the one who introduced me to Blackstreet. So he gets me the gig with Blackstreet. He called me Darcell. I left my because I was letting him live with me after I got my part. So Darcell, I left my dry cleaning in your car. Can you bring it down to this Larrabee West Studios? I said, yeah, I'll do it, Richard. Richard Aaron's got name. So I took the stuff down there and I walk in, and it's Teddy Riley, it's all the fellas. I said, oh my God, man, you gotta hear Darcell sing. So I did sing for him. They took me on tour. We got off tour, he took me to this record company. And man, this dude said I'll pass on him. And I was crushed. I wasn't just crushed, I was shocked. And at the time, I was thinking, you're going to pass on me? And then I realized, well, maybe not as good as you think, or you know, God had to humble me in that way for sure.
Yeah.
But so being turned down by multiple record companies, in fact, turned down by every record company I was ever presented to, everyone, nobody ever said yes in that way. One production company that took me to labor, they say yes. But then when I did the deal with them, they supposed to give me a pretty large sum of money and they didn't. So I was like, well, I ain't doing that. But, and then that one, and also there was a couple of producers I was working with at the time and I cut demos for them. And I realized they weren't really trying to help me. They was just using me to get a voice on their songs, to get it to artists they really like. And it wasn't me. And I asked the guy one day, I said, oh, so you use me to say yes. And that was a big pill to swallow.
Yeah.
You know, because I come from Dallas in church. Like when I came out of Dallas, my brothers and I and another guy named Carnell Morrell, we had all the gigs. If there was a gig in Dallas, it was a bar mitzvah or an anniversary, a wedding or a fashion show, whatever it was, one of us was singing at it. So I wasn't used to not getting the gig. And so that was a big shock. And I felt mistreated. I felt used. I felt abused. I felt rejected. I felt laughed at. Yeah, so those were big ones, man.
What's something you thought success would heal that success can touch?
Probably being the black sheep of my family.
Okay.
Probably being the guy who, you know, is loved, but I know even to this day, if it comes down to like the pecking order of my siblings, I'm last. I know that.
Right.
I
Exactly.
know, like you love me, but you don't love me like you love them. Or maybe you love me the same, but it's not manifested differently. You know, I'm a chance taker and all that. And so probably that, knowing that it's been very few places I've been number one in anybody's heart. And nothing takes that away. Nothing replaces that feeling. And I've been to the top of the mountain, like I know God has taken me, and it might be world tours, and it might be millions of billions, and it might be Rolls Royces or whatever it is. That still doesn't replace that stuff. That's a heart thing. That's something that external can't extract the internal. You know what I'm talking about? It's just that's just some things in life change. We just have to accept particular things we can't change, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
So I've been interviewing musicians since
Yes.
2020, okay?
Okay.
And
Amen.
all of them are on Spotify, Apple Music, and all, okay? You're
Right.
not. You're
No.
not. You're not. So you have a thing that you said no streams. No strings.
Right.
No streams, no strings,
Right. Right.
And I can understand why anybody would want to not be on those streaming platforms.
Yes.
They're
Right.
not good for the artist.
Correct.
They don't pay well, they'll take all your money and leave you with almost nothing,
Right.
so So what finally made you walk away from the streaming that everybody needed, but you realized you did not?
It was several things. So we talked about the financial aspect of it, and I'm not gonna play that off.
No, no.
For me to write a song, like James, when I'm writing songs, man, like that's my life. I'm feeling this. This is what I'm thinking, man. This is like if I died in the middle of a lyric, I'm cool because I'm doing what I was created to do. So when I put the song out there, and then a gentleman like Daniel Ek, who's the CEO and co-founder of Spotify, God bless that brother. Great model. A business model. I'm not anti-stream. I'm saying streaming doesn't work for me. So I definitely want to pay my bills off of my music. That's for sure. But also, I saw a feeling like, streaming got between me and the very people I was writing the song for. Like it became like my songs were being held hostage. Like I didn't really own them, not really. I own the copyright, but I didn't really. And the people who were getting the music didn't own it. They were leasing it. They were renting the songs, and they had to rent the songs every month to listen to the songs. So for me, I wanted people to own the music forever. I really do. If somebody spends their hard-earned money working whatever they're doing to make their money, and they get one of my songs, and my song is about $2, I don't think they should have to spend money every month to listen to that song. So that was a big thing for me. And so what I decided to do, I wanted to do direct wanted to do direct to consumer. Like I said, I'm giving people music the way it was meant to be, fresh and direct. That's how I believe music should be, fresh and direct. You get it, you own it. And then no strings, no strings. You get the song, no strings attached. So that's what I set out to do. And then also, and here's another piece of it. I respect radio. I respect the radio stations all over the world. Radio, if say in a small town and Mama Bell's house caught on fire, right? And Mama Bell's house didn't burn down, or say it did. Hey, or Mr. Simpson, his house is on fire. The radio say, hey, we're doing a toy drive, or we're doing a campaign to raise money, help them get another house. So radio has always been embedded in the community. And I believe people playing songs on the radio brings the artist and the listener together, which is, I think, very important. And so I went back to radio. So my new single, Can You Feel Me? I have 23 stations playing it so far. I'm looking to get more stations playing it. And I think it's important. Like streaming is fine. Hey, any artist who wants to stream and they feel like streaming is good for their career or good for their music, then that's fine. But for me, I just started looking at the big picture and saying, in some ways, people might be taken advantage of. That's what I started felt like. I like to, for me as an artist, I felt like I started being taken advantage of. Like I write the song, I put it basically on your website. You keep all the money, and I don't get anything. And then the listener on the other side, again, they listen to the song as long as they pay every month. And I just can't rock with that, man.
Yeah.
This is bottom line. I just can't rock with that. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, Darcell, my songs will never be on streaming again. I can tell you that. I can tell you that right now. And I've talked to people, say, oh, yeah, have you tried this platform? Have you tried that platform? None of it is profitable for the artist or the consumer. And I just don't think that's right.
Yeah, I always encourage listeners and people who I meet at concerts and everything to buy physical merchandise, because that's where all the artists make some money from, is physical merchandise. I go to I go to a record store, Scratch and Spin, right over here, and I buy vinyl records, CDs, books or whatever. I believe the world should go back to physical media instead of streaming media,
Well, it is. It is. My 15-year-old just bought some cassettes.
Oh, okay, that is like, yeah.
And my album Road to Everywhere, I sell them for $20. And I, and James, I get out on the streets. I go to football games, pro football games, college football games, concerts, plays,
Everywhere.
all everywhere. There's a bunch of people. And I go out on me, hey, are you a music fan? I tell them my story. I put the earphones on, I play my Bluetooth. And quite frankly, I've sold thousands of those units so far. So people still buy physicals. I think our industry sometimes, not everybody, but sometimes our industry tries to pretend. I don't want to say pretend, but convince us that people don't like physical product. But I'm here to tell you, I sell physicals pretty much every day of my life, and they still buy them.
Right. Speaking of this, I know the I know that you answer, but I have to ask you this. I don't want to be repeating myself, but this is absolutely, if Spotify called you tomorrow and offered you a deal like they did Joe Rogan, like 100 million, 200 million, a billion, it would be no streams, no strings still, correct?
It would be. It would be because the deal about it is the same money offering me over time I can generate anyway. What I'm doing, I'm building a community through my social media. I just really starting to build my social media. I'm building a community of people who feel like music can still make an impact. And there's millions of, not billions of people all over the world that feel that way. And also, if I take the money and run, and now people still have to lease my music, I took care of me, but I still didn't take care of the listener. I took care of myself. But I can say right now, well, hey, I think that they should get the music forever. But if you can buy that part of me, then did I really mean that? Like, if you could take a dollar amount and say, Darcell, don't believe that anymore. Now I'm not me anymore. I'm who you say I am. And I just don't think that's right. So no, I'm gonna say it again. No amount of money will make me go back to streaming platforms. And I could pretty say that ever.
Okay, good.
It's not just me, it's the consumer as well. It's the
It's like
consumer as well. And I think that's
it's almost like streaming has accidentally taught this new generation that music should be practically free,
It
without
should be free.
yeah.
But they don't but consider this too now, James. Concert ticket prices have exploded. Why? Because the artist says, well, if I can't make money on the music, so music is now the business card for you to come to my show. So you used to be able to see me for $75. Now it's $750. So we got to think about both sides of it too.
Right. All right. So I would like to play a little game with you before we let you go, but I
Let's
do
do
want
it.
to thank you for coming on. I call this
James,
the
I'm
lightning
grateful.
round. Thank you so
Okay.
much. It's called the lightning round. So
Let's do
I'll go give you two things, and then you say this or that, or like give me a story
Okay.
in between. Okay.
Okay.
Piano or guitar? Which one would you?
Piano.
Piano. I love it. All right.
Yeah.
Studio at 2 a.m. or stage at 9 p.m.
Stage at 9 p.m.
Love you for that. Dallas or Los Angeles? Now, what do you
Right
prefer
now,
now? Yeah.
Right now, I prefer Dallas, but I feel like LA is right now is necessary.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Do you would you rather write a song or would you rather perform?
Depends on the day, bro. Depends
Okay.
on, I since my dad died, I still rather perform. But it has to be the song I wrote, though. I'll give
Oh,
that caveat. It's got to be the
yeah.
song I wrote. But I'm not really, for me right now, I'm not real big on covers. Although
Okay.
it's so many songs I like, but right now I want to tell my story. So yeah, I'd rather get out there and perform it.
Okay. All right. Now this is gonna be a hard one, okay?
Come on.
Stevie Wonder or Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
All the way?
Yes.
Even though you met Stevie Wonder?
Yeah. I'll
Okay.
tell you this. So I'll tell you this story. I was writing songs for with a Michael Jackson's bass player. And we've written some songs that we were pitching to Michael. And for some reason, Michael didn't like taking songs from his musicians to tour with him. I never understood that. I was like, well, they know you, they hear you every night. But I was writing this song. There has always been a little voice inside me that told me things would be just fine. Out of nowhere, you appeared. It's kind of funny how everything works out in time. I have waited a lifetime to find someone who loved me too. Now that you're here, I want you to stay. Gonna love you forever, forever, my love. And you know how Michael sings. So I'm like, Mike, that's in your wheels. But I take Michael. I don't think Michael necessarily is more talented than Stevie, but I think Michael had a bigger impact than Stevie.
I mean, you can't deny the impact that Michael Jackson had, you know. A lot of people love to throw Prince against Michael Jackson. And that's a fair, fair assessment, because
Yeah.
Prince is a genius of his own right, Michael
Yes.
Jackson, man,
Shoot.
right. So,
Shoot.
I mean, he did the whole soundtrack to the Batman
Yeah.
movie, Michael Keaton. So, I mean, I love Prince too, but Michael, you can't deny Michael's,
Impact.
Michael, yeah,
Yeah, I think the greatest that ever lived, and there's been so many. I mean,
yeah,
Prince is just as talented as Michael.
right.
Steve is just as talented. But I just think this is pre-YouTube domination. This is pre-social media. So with Michael, you couldn't see it, but like if he did Barbara Walters or something, unless it was the accessibility wasn't there. And I think because of that, the mystique, his voice, incredible. Of course, his dance. I just think Michael, to me, he's probably the greatest that ever lived so far.
What artist you'd love to produce?
Produce. Well, I'd say the artists I love to work with would be Bruno. He's producing himself. Fantasia, Taylor Swift, couple more out there. Some old school cats. You may have heard of Steve Arrington, who's a bad cat. He used to get with a group called Slave. He has some watching you, da-da-da-da, him, and a couple more out there. A couple of them have passed away, so it won't happen. But if it was one, I would say if it was one, I'd say Bruno. I'd
Bruno,
say Bruno. I'd say Bruno.
perfect. What is the best advice that you ignored?
Initially, do it yourself. So, long story, Bobby Brown saw me at this club one night called the China Club in LA. He pulled me on stage, and this is when he's at the top. It's the only crew. He got about 30 Heineken bottles at his table, so he's just balling out of control. And he said, "Man, come to my hotel. Meet me in my hotel tomorrow." So I went to the hotel. He wasn't there. Come back, Bob, not here. Bob gone. Bob. So I guess. But a few years later, I ran into him. He's with Quincy Jones, and Quincy Jones said, "Hey, man, Bobby said, man, you should sign Darcell." And Quick Q was like, "Man, I'm not doing that right now. I'm doing TV." About a year or so later, I saw Quincy at an award show. He remembered me. He said, "Darcell, sit down. I want to talk to you." And he's talking. He said it. He said, "Man, do it yourself." And I was thinking in my mind, "Hey, bro, you Quincy, make the call, and then I'm gonna do it. That's why I'm here. Do it myself. You sitting right here, right?" But I didn't take that advice initially. But ultimately, I took it. It was like, you have basically what he was saying was his words, not mine. You have it all. Do it yourself. And so initially, I didn't take that advice. But I ultimately did. And one thing my mom told me one day, like, don't let other people be in control of your life. And I came to LA, and for a few years, I was letting people be in control of my life. I was chasing people. I was trying to find the producer that's hot. I was trying to fit in. And I realized that I can't fit in and stand out at the same time. And so I just decided at some point to be myself. So these are instances where I didn't ignore it, but I ignored it initially. And I kind of, like we all have to grow into something. I had to grow into those things. And I'm really glad I did.
Do you think that Quincy saw something in you that was overlooked by like a million people? I mean, just did okay.
Because he had that touch. He didn't give me a dollar. He didn't make a phone call for me, but he did light something inside of me. He really, I truly mean that. He saw it and he said it. And for him to say it, it was really enough. And the last time I saw him, I said, Q, I'm doing it, man. Last time I saw him was at a place up here, Herb Albert, the trumpet player. I don't know if you know Herb Albert. He on A&M Records. Herb Albert, he has a place called Vibrato here in Bel Air. And Quincy was there. And a bunch of cats was there because I think for somebody, Motown had passed away. So Stevie was there, Quincy was there, Al Jarreau was there, George Duke, all the cats. And I said, Q, so what's up, man? I said, man, I'm doing. I showed him my album. Dude, I'm doing. He's like, yeah. So that was kind of a full circle moment.
Nice. A few more here.
Okay.
Most underrated ingredient in a great song. What would
Say
you
it
be?
again.
Most
Mostly great.
underrated ingredient in a great song.
Melody.
Melody.
Melody. Melody, definitely, definitely.
Last one. One word that describes Darcell today. One word.
Grateful.
I love it. I love it.
Grateful.
All right.
For real.
So Darcell, we do love you here at Wooden Word Show, and we beg you to come back anytime. And
Thank you
I
so
am
much.
doing a online I am making an online radio station. So
Okay.
I would love to have any of your songs be on my station. Maybe we can work together, very soon.
I tell you what, you email me, I'll email you five or six songs today.
Perfect, yes. All right.
I'll send you five or six songs today. I'll send you five or six songs today. Man, I just want to take this moment and say I've done a lot of quite a few podcasts. This is the most enjoyable podcast I've done so far. Your authenticity. I mean this, your humility, your again, man, you're just genuine and you're well studied. You knew the stats, you knew no strings, no strings. Sometimes people ask me generic questions because my publicist asked certain questions. You didn't ask none of the questions she had.
Oh,
The
great.
last track, huh?
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, I love that because you're really being you. And God, man, I love that. This has been such a treat, my brother.
Thank you so much.
Sincerely. I love you and I really appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And before we let you go, where can people buy your music from? Because I know we don't do any streaming. Is there some kind of site where you can order
Yeah,
physical merchandise?
it's my official website. It's
Okay.
darcell.net. It's real
Okay.
Darcell dot darcell.net. You go to my site, join my mailing list, and the store page is called the Fresh and Direct Store, my website. And it's all the music is there, albums are there, EPs are there, singles are there. And I got merch too if you want, but if you get a
Shirts
song or two, that'd be cool.
shirts
If you
and
get my
hats
all
and
my
whatever.
songs are like less than $2. You
Oh,
know, I feel like this. If somebody don't spend $2 on my song, they really don't like the
they really
song.
don't
That's
like it. Right.
pretty much. Pretty much. But it gives people alternative to own the music, and that's what the whole point was.
Exactly. I read somewhere that you sold 100,000 copies of your music to people from like way back when till now. Is that
Yeah,
accurate?
that's right. That's right. Yeah, I've sold over 100,000 records. I had a album out initially just called Self-Titled Darcell, and now this album is out now. It's called Road to Everywhere. And so those between those 2 years, and then man, if any EDM fans out there, check out the album, the EP Trip Tracks. It's really trippy, man. It's like what you were saying, EDM. It's really for people who want to dance hard and have a good time. All my lyrics are clean.
Oh
All my
dear.
messages are positive, so that's something for them.
I love it when the songs don't have a lot of cussing in it. I just don't understand why that needed, but then again, I mean, depending on the song, I guess we would need something like that, but I don't know, so
I guess.
yeah.
I guess.
So I would love to work with you in the future and come back in time, okay? This has
Thank
been
you so
great
much.
for me. Yeah.
James, I love you and I appreciate you. And I'll keep supporting James, guys. You might take it for granted, but these type of podcasts, they're not out there much. They're really on. So support your boy at home. If you're supporting him now, keep supporting him. It really makes a difference. Please keep him encouraged and uplifted.
Thank
Love
you.
you guys, man.
Thank you, sir. And with that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode today. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.